Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up, cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the cuz.
Yo, cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now, here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, cuz?
Happy Thursday to all my brothers and sisters across the Delaware Valley. It's Cuz Radio with the Tuners. So I want to start off today. I want to talk about football today, but not the way you kind of think. I want to know if football suffices, the game itself, how the game is played. So it's interesting. I was at practice last night. My little guy's playing, you know, 11, 12-year-old football, right? Clearview. And I'm at practice, and I'm watching the kids. I actually, if I tell you that's a happy place of mine, like, I it's, you know, I get out of the car, I do some work, right, while they're doing their initial drills. And then I get out, and I love it. I stand right on the sidelines and just watch practice. I always loved football practice. It's weird, but I love it. And I'm sitting there watching, and the kids are physical. Like, they actually run a pretty physical practice. And I agree with it. Like, it's good. It's a good practice. The kids are learning, and there's nothing like when you see kids getting it, and they're excited. They're putting work in, and, you know, I'm looking at all these kids, and these, you know, listen, a lot of kids are out playing video games and at home, stuff with their face. And I'm looking at these kids, and they're working hard every night, 6 to 8. They're playing, they're practicing football, and it's not glamorous and it's not fun, right? There's aspects of it that are fun, and I'm watching the physicality. I'm going, wow, this is really physical practice. And it dawned on me, because I was thinking about this, because the NFL is not physical. The practices are not physical. And again, these are men, and they're freakish athletes, and you got to protect them. And of course, then there's the Players Association that come in and the whole thing. So I started to think about the sport itself. And if I told you, I don't pine for the old days, right? I love football. Like, I can't wait for tonight. There's a game tonight. And it's weird because I think I've fallen in love with it even more. Like, even though the Eagles aren't that good, it's a rebuilding thing, I enjoy the rest of the league. Like, I can get and enjoy the rest of the league. I can look at tonight's game, Rams and Seahawks, and just get, I'm into it, man. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm actually looking forward to the game tonight. Like, I actually had a little pep in my step. Like, oh, yeah, we got football tonight. And actually, it's a great sports day because we got two playoff baseball games, too. And I was watching Dodgers Cardinals locked last night. It was awesome. So, and it's funny. Every sport, football, baseball, hockey, basketball, I love it, man. I love them today. Like, I don't have any pangs of, oh, it was better back in the day. I really enjoy it. So, to me, that game last night, Dodgers Cardinals, it was gripping. Like, I couldn't turn it off. Right? I saw the walk off, and I'm like, oh, what a game. The Cardinals had chance after chance after chance. It was amazing. Wainwright pitching incredibly, gets out of a big jam with a double play ball to Trey Turner. You know, the shift worked time and time again last night. So anyway, I'm looking at all these sports. I'm thinking about football, and I'm going, I love it. I really do. And then I was thinking, because the morning show had a great conversation yesterday about Buddy Ryan, the physicality, and the defense. And it was fun. I was listening to the guys, and they were talking about Buddy and John and Bob were like, oh, my God, you know, forget the fact that Buddy was not a good coach. But he was entertaining his old get-out, right? Like you can't even imagine the stuff he did. It just wouldn't play today. I mean, like, head-hunting and just vicious, kind of vicious football. But it was captivating, right? Like, it was captivating. And you know, you look at the way defense, you look at this Eagle defense, and this Eagle defense is nauseating, right? Like, one of the reasons why we hate this defense is because it's a passive defense. It's, let me play a two-deep zone and let keep everything in front of you. You're not forcing turnovers with a passive defense. Now, I'm not saying it's not a smarter, you know, scheme to play against certain teams like Kansas City who can kill you. You just gotta not let Tyreek Hill behind you since you're playing so far back. You can't let him kill you. So I'm not saying it's not smart, but the concept of defense and physicality doesn't work today. Bro said it, and I thought he was dead right. You know, ultimately, it really doesn't matter. Like, you need an offense. And as much as we talk about run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, and I agree there are times when, you know, and obviously he needs to run it more, but that's not going to win. You're only going to win is if you're able to can get chunk plays when you need it. Like, 2 minutes, you got to go down the field. You got to go down the field. Like, you're not going to win it playing ground and pound, you know, John said at Parcells football. So my question really is, it's multifaceted. There's the football piece of it where do you miss the physicality of it? Like, he brought up that Eagle defense, and yeah, they didn't win anything, but damn, they were mesmerizing. Like, the primal fandom. Like, we all have that primal fandom inside of us. So you see our team really wreck people. There's something, and you go, yes. It goes into our primal being. It awakens it. The beast. When you see one of your guys won't even wreck somebody. That's the primal being that lives inside you. You really don't have that today. Today, and it's way more fantasy driven. And listen, I'm cool with it. I love watching great quarterback play. So I to me, it's fun. But I started thinking about it because the morning show was talking about it. And then I'm watching practice last night. I'm going, wow, these kids are hitting. Like, they're hitting more than I've seen NFL guys do. And then, you know, I was talking to some defensive guys this week. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, defense. And Carolina actually has a really good defense. So he's trying to win. Matt's trying to win like that. Matt has a great defense. And he's got that, you know, he knows how to play it and play it tough. And I think, like, that can win, but you're still going to need the quarterback to make plays down the field. Is that enough for you, right? Like, do you like today's game where it's way more offense? And again, I look at it where it's just different, but I love it just the same. And then you can get into the whole thing about all sport. I love the way all sport is played. Like, again, I could watch last night and be riveted. Like, I thought that was great baseball last night. It was a 3-1 game. 1-1 until the walk-off. I mean, you know, they went deep into their bullpens, man. Scherzer out after 4 and change. You know, like, and I looked at Max Scherzer, and I got to tell you, like, we talk about the Phillies, right? They need a guy like that. Forget about his ability. He didn't want to come out of the game. He stared down Dave Roberts looking at him like, are you going to bleep and take me out of the game? I don't think so. And then finally hands the ball over. And he didn't go in the clubhouse. He didn't go in the shower. He sat on the rails and watched that inning. And Joe Kelly comes in. And when he strikes out, I forget who it was Arenado. He got out first. And then Carlson. And he strikes him out. And I'm watching Scherzer's reaction. And he's like, yeah. And he's fired up. And that's what a guy I want. I love him. I want a guy like that. And when I look at the Eagles, I need, who's their identity, man? You know, Micah Parsons, say what you want. And this is what scares me about the Cowboys. Micah Parsons is a guy that's going to create an attitude on that defense. He's going to give them an attitude, an identity. That was a soft-ass defense, right? Now you add a Micah Parsons to it, and all of a sudden it's got ferocity. And that's what we lack. Good morning, Junis.
What's up, man? Where do you want to begin today?
Well, I gave you a lot.
Yeah, he did.
So have at it.
Should I start the NFL?
Wherever you want.
All right, well, it seems like NFL is the number one right now. That's kind of what you led with. I kind of go all over the place with my love and sometimes hate of the NFL. I saw it again this past weekend, and it was one of the plays that went viral. And I forget which two teams it was, but there was a quarterback that dropped back to pass and wasn't even touched. It was the Washington game. And the Chase Young doesn't even hit Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan then falls down, throws the ball, gets intercepted. First of all, his knee touches the ground first, then he throws it. But they don't call it down because the refs just miss it. But then it's a 15-yard penalty because they thought that Chase Young hit Matt Ryan in the face. And he didn't. He didn't even touch him.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan actually avoided the pressure, and it was still flagged for 15 yards. And it's not like you can review. I'm not saying I want reviewed penalties.
I mean, that's the problem with, you're right, that's a great point.
They are protecting the quarterback so much.
Going with a defensive laden team is all the rules are stacked against you.
But, and not even that, not even building a team, just that's one of the things I dislike about the NFL right now is, yes, I get it, protect the quarterback, because people are coming to watch the quarterbacks play. Once you go to the backup quarterback, unless it's the 2017 Eagles, you're pretty much S out of luck. But they're protecting these guys so much that it's like an automatic 15-yard penalty if you touch the quarterback. Even if it's a sack, you could get flagged for it, which I find it absolutely ridiculous. And yes, I don't want guys getting their heads knocked off when they're going over the middle of the field. That's why they're trying to do the, you know, defensive player penalties and all that kind of stuff. But when you can't even put your finger on the helmet of a quarterback, I have a problem with that, man. And they're throwing flags left and right because of it. So I kind of dislike that with the league right now. But when it comes to offense, we've never seen anything like this. Tyreek Hill had 180 yards with ease. Now, it might have been because the Eagles' defense stinks, but he's also that talented and gifted of a player.
Right.
And you can see that all over the place.
Again, like, here's the problem. You're playing Kansas City, so I get it, and I would play them the same way. However, if you're going to play that way, you can't get beat deep.
Right.
Like, the worst thing you could do, like, the game plan was stupid. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I agree with the premise. But his play calling defensively was bad. Here's the thing. You tried to take away Kelce. Okay, well, Kelce's great. But again, it's underneath. If you're going to try to make Andy run the ball, which you should do, and Andy did with Hilaire, who got 100 yards, you can't then give up big plays to Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
Like, all right, like, you know, if Kelce was catching 12 passes for 130 yards, so be it. But I can't have Tyreek Hill give me 4 for 180 and 3 touchdowns.
Right, exactly. That was
That's bad. That was a bad coaching mistake. Listen, I can't rip Gannon for, he don't have a lot of personnel here.
No, he doesn't.
So I like, to me, he gets a curve. I'm going to.
But I would say this: it's more professional than last year's.
But whatever.
Steven Nelson's better than Michael Jaquette.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you know, yes, yes.
Eric Wilson is better than Nate Gary.
Yes, I agree. So, no, you're right about that.
Like, I Jim Schwartz needed to go. I was done Jim Schwartz thing. But Jim Schwartz did it with half the talent last year.
No, I agree with you. You're right about that. And I look at him and I go, well, dude, like, you're, how could you roll coverage toward Kelce, but you got mismatches with Hill?
Yeah.
The premise of your defense is not to let people behind you because you're playing a too deep zone. That makes no sense. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's faulty thinking. So while I grade him on a curve, that's just bad defense and that's bad coaching. I mean, you got to go in with a premise and a plan. Now, I don't know, you know, who I watch the old 22, but I don't know what their calls are. And, you know, obviously they were looking to take Kelce out of the game, which is fine. But again, if you're going to play your safeties that deep, you just can't let Hill get behind you. And, yeah, he did exactly. Numerous times. It's terrible.
And then there's even
times. There were breakdowns. You're like, well, dude, what are you doing?
You're in the red zone. Eric Wilson is playing man with Tyreek Hill. What? Like, why would you ever have a linebacker go, man, well,
that's my point. There's breakdowns. And
like, everywhere.
You can't have breakdowns when you got Hill on the field.
No, absolutely not.
Like, that's the, you don't, listen, if Kelsey beats you, Kelsey beats you. But you can't have, if your premise is to blitz Mahomes and crowd the box or whatever, man up, then you get beat. But they were playing their safeties back.
Yeah.
Which I thought was smart. Except you can't let Hill beat you. So that was incongruous. You know?
Yeah. So basically, long story short, there's parts of the league that I absolutely love more than ever before. But then there's parts, and it's not just the Eagles related. It's all kinds of ridiculous penalties left and right. I mean, and I know referees are focusing on some penalties more than others every other year. But, you know, the lack of physicality toward the quarterback, and I get why. Don't get me wrong. I get why. But the fact that you can get flagged 15 yards and you can't overturn the penalty when you're not even touching the quarterback like Chase Young against Matt Ryan the other day, I mean, that to me, that's bad, man. It's a bad product at times. So you say the NFL is better than ever before. I kind of go, yes, offensively, but defensively, well, you can't even play defense at the times.
When I say better or as good as ever before, I'm just talking about I enjoy it as much as I've ever done. That, whether it's better or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, that to me is all, you know, your own personal take on it. I look at it and I just go, I personally enjoy it.
Right.
And I look at the game tonight and I go, Rams, Seahawks.
This is awesome.
I'm in.
Like, Cincinnati, Jacksonville last Thursday, kind of gross game, but I was excited for Burrow and Trevor Lawrence.
Dude, can I tell you, I enjoyed that guy.
It ended up being a great game.
Dude, I watched every second of that game.
Yeah,
it ended up being a great game.
But this, I mean, tonight, this is a legit matchup. Remember back in the day, like probably 5-6 years ago, the Thursday night matchup was always like
trash.
This.
Yeah,
they have changed that, man.
Yeah, well, they're smart. And they also added Joe Buck and Aikman.
Yeah, so like I'm pumped for tonight and. You know me, I'm excited for next week when the Birds are on Thursday night. That means I have a full Sunday of just sitting back and watching football, which I haven't really been able to do because of doing post-game show. And I can't wait, man. Those 2 weeks last year where I was able to do that, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Because the league is great. It is fun. Like, I am enjoying the sport itself. There's just things that I wish would get cleaned up a little
bit. Like, I'm sitting here in October and I'm going, damn, September's already over.
I can't believe it's week five.
I go, damn, slow down. Like I'm at the point where I go, slow down. I love it so much. I want it to slow down. And I don't watch it. You know, it's a shame. You know, like, tell me you won't want to see Cardinals Dodgers for five games.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like, they're so stupid.
Man, did the MLB get lucky yesterday?
Well, it could have been all kinds of anarchy, without a doubt.
I was rooting for chaos, man.
But it's the worst run sport ever. Can you imagine you got five games of Boston Yankees, of Cardinals Dodgers? Like, you're not in on that?
Yeah, so by the way, I looked it up this morning because I was interested. Yankees, Red Sox, 7.7 million viewers from start to finish. Like, that was their average. The entire game.
Yeah, that's good.
It peaked at 8.4.
I mean, that's great.
And it was up like 42% from the last wild card game.
Yeah.
Like, people were into that.
Yeah.
Now, part of it may be the do or die thing. It may be. Or it's because it's just Yankees Red Sox playoffs and people are in.
I think people are. I think we saw an uptick in baseball ratings.
Yeah, we did.
I think people. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm involved in youth baseball, and I see it. I mean, lots of kids are playing. I don't know this whole talk about the sports dying. Not among kids. There's a lot of kids play ball, man.
Yeah, you know, people complain about the length of the game. Whatever, dude. Like, yesterday was compelling.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's 1-1 through nine.
And there were chances. Both teams had chances.
Like, yesterday was compelling.
I mean, Trey Turner's up. First and third, one out. It's 1-0, or maybe it was 1-1 at that point because Justin 1-1. Turner.
Yep.
You know, dude, can I tell you, I was so happy. So I'm watching a game. It's after practice. We eat. I go settle in. you know, fourth inning, whatever. Now I can relax. Third inning, I got it on. Who comes sidling up? It is jammies. Mossy. Daddy, can I watch a game with you?
Yeah, son.
Yeah, you want to watch? I go, yeah, I said, dude, Cardinals, Dodgers, you know. He goes, I know. He goes, Daddy, is Trey Turner and Justin Turner brothers? I said, the fact that you know Trey Turner, Justin
Yeah,
Turner,
exactly.
I'm so proud of you. I love it. So come on there. He gets under the car. He gets the blanket. Gets under the covers. Laying next to you, watching the game. Talking about the game. I was like in heaven. All right. Football, there's the physicality. Where it lies with the Eagles. There's lots to dive into with all this stuff. 610-632-0975. And my man... Oh, I wanted to watch. I couldn't stay up last night, but I wanted to watch our show, The Squid.
I watched four episodes yesterday.
My man watches The Squid, man.
And it's awesome.
All right, dude, do me a favor. Give me a chance to catch up at least two episodes, and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right?
It's awesome.
Because I'm dying.
I wanted to watch.
Yeah. I love it. 610-632-0975. That's how you join us. Got a couple of lines to start the program. We'll open up our phones straight ahead. Big day, Thursday. Have you ever dreamed of owning your own restaurant or bar? Like, you have your own sports bar? Man, how cool that is. Like, what would you name it? Well, guess what? We got a spot, all right? My man, I got a buddy of mine I grew up with, John Tripodi. Played ball with him. He's terrific. Now, he's got a place in the Northeast, 2900 Street Road, right across from Parks Casino. And this thing is massive. It's a blank canvas. And it needs a name. It needs a menu. It needs a theme. And he wants to create the ultimate space for Philadelphia sports fans of all ages. So I go, well, you know what? I can help you. We got our audience knows. All right, our audience is the best. They'll outfit the bar, name the bar, give you the menu. You could do that on the contest page at 975thefanatic.com for your chance to win a $100 monthly tab for a whole year. That's right. Name this restaurant and sports bar, open 7 days a week, and we'll be there tomorrow, the Friday tailgate, Tunis and I, 10 to 2. Bring your A game, bring your A name. And let's get excited for some football. Join me tomorrow. Get 50% off your lunch order from 11 to 2 p.m. All right? Drinks not included, but 11 to 2, 50% off your lunch, your food tab. Can't beat that. 2900 Street Road in Bensalem, across from Parks Casino. Just look for the sign. Name this restaurant and sports bar, and we'll see you there.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, like he does every Thursday, getting ready for the pregame show with Devon. We love him. The host of the Gun on One podcast and the pregame show, our buddy D-Gun. D-Gun! What's happening?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
What's the matter? You sound subdued.
I do?
Yeah, you all right?
I'm in a great mood today.
Okay, good. All right. No, you just sounded quiet to me.
Stop trying to analyze me like you analyze the Eagles. It doesn't work that way.
I'm not trying to analyze you. I'm just as your buddy, just making sure you were cool. That's it. I mean, you know, listen, I'm good. I don't need to be your therapist. All right, D-Gun, I got to ask a bunch of things because you're tied into the – when it comes to injuries, you're locked in on that stuff. So you think Lane plays? He makes a trip and he plays?
Right now, and I hope it changes, but as of right now, From what I'm gathering, he probably won't play this Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a day-to-day situation with him. So we'll wait and see. But as of right now, from what I'm being told, it's not likely he plays on Sunday. But again, it could change. Because the one thing I know about Lane, especially when he played for Doug Peterson, you know, he played on that bad ankle last year, and people really don't know how bad that ankle was he was playing on. And there were times when Doug said, "Do you want to sit out?" He said, "There's no way I'm sitting out." So Lane will fight through a lot of things to get back out there with his teammates. So I'm sure it's going to be difficult to keep him off the field, but maybe in the best interest of Lane Johnson, he may be kept off the field this Sunday.
Okay. All right. Mailata, there's talk that he may come back, which would be pretty quick. I mean, a lot quicker than I expected. Is he going to play Sunday?
Well, yeah, that's another situation. It's day to day. How do you feel today? How's it holding up today? You know what I mean? If they can get him out there, he will be out there, but they're not going to rush him back and have him re-injure that thing again. So here's another one where, you know, you hope you have him back to help stabilize the left side of that offensive line, but you know, we may not know if until, you know, inactives are announced on Sunday morning.
Okay.
We really don't. Yeah.
Well, I mean, is he going to make the trip?
That's what's today? Thursday? I don't know.
Wow.
To be honest,
I don't know. All of a sudden I heard that old Mailata may play. I'm like, wow, really? That was surprising to me.
Well, I mean, that's a possibility, but, you know, the word I got was proceed with caution. I said, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I understand.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't know why you would risk anything on Mailata. He's your future left tackle.
No question. But, you know, teams do that, especially out of need. Teams do that all the time. You know, players tell them one thing, you know, and you know, they go through the medical protocol, and it's an iffy situation. You know, it's like the, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know, type scenario.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. Driscoll played decent.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And Dillard played decent for two games now.
Yes, he did.
You know, I agree. You know, we were expecting the worst from Andre Dillard, and he did a pretty good job of holding down that left side. So,
yeah.
You know, if they feel pretty good moving forward with Dillard once again. Now, this is a different kind of pass rush. You know, Kansas City's defense was a sieve. You know, this defense they're going to face, they're going to give you so many different looks. There's a reason why they have 14 quarterback sacks, you know, in four games. And, you know, they didn't get to Dak Prescott once, but they put a lot of pressure on him. They didn't get to him. But they're going to give you a lot of multiple looks, and they're going to come at you from different angles. But, you know, after the two games, they feel pretty good that Andre Dillard can hold his own. You know, if I'm making a call, I give Dillard at least another game and give Mailata at least another week to get himself ready. You know, because you got that short turnaround on Thursday night against Tampa Bay, and then after that you got Vegas. So you've got some heavyweights coming up here.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, you can easily turn around and be 1-6. I mean,
I know, man.
Yeah, I mean, listen, but again. I would not be surprised. Like, that's not a surprising thing. Like, I don't think they – I think Carolina wins Sunday. And then I think Tampa beats them the following Thursday. I mean, so right there, it's 1-5. I mean, and I don't think – we talked about the beginning of the schedule the way it was, and I don't see it changing. I mean, we're just talking about Jonathan Gannon. Now, I agree with the basic premise of the defense – to play your safeties deep. We talked about that last Thursday. But you still got, you know, taken to the woodshed by Tyreek Hill, and that can happen. Not if you're playing your safeties that deep. You can't get caught on a mismatch with Hill.
Now, you know, Tampa plays the same type, the two high safeties, and you don't see them getting beat a lot. They keep everything underneath, and you're right. Everybody on the planet knows who and what Tyreek Hill is. And if you're going to play him, and you're going to play your safeties to the next county, then there's no way he should get over the top on you know, like that, like he did.
I'd rather have Kelsey beat me underneath.
Yeah, Kelsey Hilaire. I'd rather Patrick Mahomes just hit you on the short dink and dunk the intermediate routes and try to keep everything in front of you. You can't let that man be in single coverage like that and get that wide open down the field. Sure enough, you get torched. Now, Tyreek Hill's put a lot of people on his highlight reel, but, you know, when you have the type of personnel this Eagles defense has, which is not great across the board, you got to do whatever you can to disguise some of your deficiencies. You know, and if you're going to play him that deep, you can't let that man be in single coverage at that wide open. It just cannot happen. You know.
No, I agree.
And again, you know, Gannon's going through some growing pains as a coordinator. This, you know, Sirianni's going through growing pains as a coordinator and a head coach. I mean, but at some point, it's got to get better. You know,
yeah.
I'm hoping you learn your lessons from these early mistakes, these early glaring mistakes, and it gets a lot better in the middle portion and the latter part of this season. I don't want to see these same mistakes happening when you get to the midway point of a season, and especially down the stretch.
Yeah. I'm curious. Well, do you think at some point he'll shift and become more of an attacking type of defense?
With what? I mean, how?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about bringing five. You know, are you gonna blitz? You're gonna disguise some blitz? You know, at some point, I mean, I don't care what kind of personnel you got, you still got to pressure the quarterback.
Well, you know, he said he likes the pressure with the four down linemen. That's not working. You know, you're right. So you've got to do something different. I don't care what you do. Cheat. Put 12, 13 men on the field until you get caught. I don't care.
See, that,
do something.
See,
what you're doing now is not working.
Yes. And see, I'm hoping that this dude isn't just the same, get Jimmy Schwartz, and I'm going to go wide and try to get pressure on my four, my front. You know, not in this league. In this league, you got to pressure, man. You got to take risk, and you got to attack. Now, I agree.
Make quarterbacks move.
Not Mahomes. Yes, not Mahomes. But you know, the lion's share of every other quarterback, Sam Darnold, I would blitz to death.
Oh, there's no question. Sam Darnold is not a Patrick Mahomes, and you got to move him off his spot. You can't let him get comfortable because he's got some weapons, especially if McCaffrey plays this week. And that kid, DJ Moore, already has 8 catches of 20.
DJ Moore's a player. And guess what? Robbie Anderson has not been.
Anderson. Yeah. I love that kid.
Me too. Yep.
You know, you can't let Darnold stand back there. Sam Darnold has basically found his Camelot, you know, moving down to Carolina from the Jets. I mean, the guy leads the league in rushing touchdowns. I mean, you kidding me? Sam Darnold, of all people. You know, so he's having fun down in Carolina. He's completing over 67% of his passes. And, you know, Carolina's defense helps out that offense a lot. And so you cannot allow Sam Darnold to just stand back there and survey a situation and pick you apart. You got to flip the script. And the one thing that concerns me is I believe Gannon said something about he doesn't have a defensive scheme. He has a philosophy. And if that's the case, you need to change that philosophy, like big time, because your philosophy is just not working right now. And I understand in a lot of cases you don't have the chess pieces to do a lot of things you may want to do. But with what you've got, you still got to flip the script somehow.
Exactly.
And make people respect the defense. Because the word is out now, not only can you run on this defense, but you can run in the teeth of this defense. And if that's the case, it's going to be another long afternoon and another long afternoon. You have got to find a way to bow up and get the offenses off the field, man, because you're putting that much more pressure on your offense to play catch up.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you. One last thing. I'm curious what your take is on Miles. How's his head?
The guy had five touches in the Dallas game, 10 touches in the Kansas City game. Why is this man not getting at least 15 touches a game? He's another potential explosive weapon. You have got to find a way to integrate him. And I don't want to start a controversy, but it seems like Sirianni favors Gainwell more so than he does Sanders. And I don't understand why at this point. You know, I think
you trust in the pass game, but I agree with you. I mean, you know, you want to try to get Miles. I mean, you got to give him some shots. The only way you can hit a home run is if he gets at bats.
And we've seen once he hits a seam, the guy can flat out go. I mean, middle screen, you know, swing pass, line him up in the slot, something. Get him the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I agree.
Let this guy make plays for you. He can wiggle free, man, and when he gets behind you, you're not catching him from behind. You have got to get the ball in his hands. 15 touches the last two games is not nearly enough for a Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
You got to utilize this young man.
I feel you, man. I think you're right on. All right, you get the pregame show Sunday. You and Devon, and you're going to be at my man's joint, John's, in the Northeast. The new,
out in Ben Salem.
Yes. So this is a cool spot because it's dynamite. It's a whole new sports bar that they're going to have all the people of Philadelphia dress up. Right? The menu. So, you know, think of whatever ideas you got. Tell John, man. He'll love it.
Hey, when are you going to come out and join us on a show?
I was talking to Chuck.
Out there.
You know what? I will. I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm waiting for the kids' schedules to die down. I got a football game and a baseball game on Sunday.
Come on, man. I love working with the Devon, but I want to sit and chop it up.
No, we'll chop it up.
Chop it up with the great Anthony Gargano.
No, we'll
That's
definitely.
What I want to do.
Man, we'll chop it up. You know that. I love it. We chop it up every Thursday. I would love to do a pregame show with you. You and my man, Devon. I love Devon. My man, listen.
Yeah, man,
have a great day,
guy.
Brother. Yeah. All right. We love you, D-Gun. Gun on One Podcast. Who's the guest this week?
This week, Tim McManus, man. And you know, Tim has so much great insight.
Yes, he does.
I love talking football with Tim. And so, everybody, if you haven't already, download, listen, hit the like button. I'm much appreciated from D-Gun.
Yeah, I like it. I push that button. Good stuff, D-Gun. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it,
buddy. It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
He's a guru, and so we have him on each and every Thursday to handle all of your questions. Good afternoon, Geek.
What's going on, cuz? I'm loving the intro.
All right. Well, I listen.
I live up to it.
You know, you do. Like, last week, you gave somebody McKissick.
And look how that worked out.
He caught the game-winning pass.
Yeah. That really helped me, actually. I loved Heinicke last week, so I was all over that. That was just the glory at the end of that game. A little cherry on the top of the whipped cream for that one.
You know, you're going to take down one of these Millie makers. Another one. You already took down one. You're going to take down another one. I know you are.
I hope so. I hope it's coming. I'm going to still do this job, though, no matter what happens.
Well, it's a labor of love. I mean, this is what you're about. You're not going anywhere.
100%.
You got to do something. I mean, you know, listen, if you had all the money in the world, you still got to do something. And this is this is what you do. You do fantasy football.
To the last day, never stop.
You're an FFer. That's what you do. All right, before we get to the questions, I need to know a couple things. One, do you got any sleepers this week? Any guys that should be on our radar? Whether you want to roster them or whether you want to play them in DFS?
I do. I have a few that might be all. I have some that might be on waivers that you could still maybe pick up, deep leagues and medium sized leagues. And I've got some guys that might be on your bench right now that you haven't been starting all season, but you might think maybe this is a spot to put them in, you know, the flex or the starting lineup. So, you know, a couple of names I think from waivers in your fantasy league that were very obvious. Obviously, Damian Williams was a player you should have really emptied your fob for. So hopefully a lot of you guys got him. He will not be available anymore, but look for Damian Williams to be a solid starter for the next 4 to 5 weeks as David Montgomery recovers.
Wow.
And if he's on your bench, you can elevate him right
wow,
into the
yeah.
starting lineup.
Sure.
Just get him in there, play him. If you're one of those sneaky people who draft other people's handcuffs, good for you. It worked out. Put Damian Williams in the starting lineup this week. A sneaky player that's possibly on your fantasy bench right now, but should actually be elevated to your starting lineup this week specifically, Laviska Shenault.
Oh, okay, I like that.
Yes, yes. Great, great matchup for the Jaguars. DJ Shark is no more. He's gone. The coach is talking about getting... now, listen, we hate the coach.
Yeah, I mean, the coach is going to be gone in a couple weeks anyway.
Yeah, forget the coach. Forget the coach. I actually think what I love about that game is I think the overreaction to the coach is actually I'm going to keep a lot of people off of that game, especially in daily fantasy purposes where everybody, there's a narrative. I love when a narrative builds around a game. Well, the coach hates the team. They're not going to play. That's not what happens in the NFL. I want to go the opposite of that narrative. But with Chenault, he's just, he got a great number of looks last week, and they don't have anybody else to throw to. So I'm really excited. I'm elevating him into the starting lineup.
Wow.
Fantasy team. Absolutely. And I'm going to be playing him in DFS as well this week because no one will.
Oh, you're a genius. See, this is why we had the Geeks a second level FFer. That's what he is, man. All right, Tunis, you got questions for the Geek.
Yeah, on 975 Middays, we're going to go across the pond to our man Sam from England.
Oh, Sammy. In. We have one of our great listeners from England. How about that, Geek?
Nice.
So he's asking for three of these four. You got Miles Sanders, Cordarrelle Patterson, Damian Williams, and if he's healthy, Carson from Seattle.
Carson is not healthy. So, unfortunately, we are left with just three. But the Carson thing does remind me to tell the viewers and listeners as well, pick up Alex Collins right now. Don't turn off the radio. Still listen to the show. But, you know, get your phone. Get whatever you use out. Pick up Alex Collins right now. The issue with Carson is not one that I expect to go away. And I think Alex Collins is now going to be a legitimate
strong
piece. Yeah, you got to pick him up right now. And next level stuff, pick up Rashad Penny, too. In fact, hey, I'm going to think about that second part, but Collins is also kind of injury prone. So we want to get, actually, DJ Dallas would be the next man up, probably. But get those running backs from Seattle on your team right away. Carson doesn't look good. So you're really only left with three. Unfortunately, I do not like Miles Sanders right now at all as a fantasy asset. So I would have said no to him, except Carson's just not going to play.
All right, this guy's team must be strong because this is the flex position. Jamar Chase, Nick Chubb, or Deontay Johnson?
Oof.
That's pretty good.
Damn, wow. That's great.
That's his flex.
Yeah, I mean, how do you bench Nick Chubb? It's really tough. All three great situations. You know, I'm going to favor Deontay over Chase just because Deontay is locked in for 10 to 12 targets. By the way, you can go back. People don't know this. I don't understand why. You can go back to Deontay a full season and a half, and the only time he doesn't get 10 to 12 targets is when he gets hurt in-game, which happens on occasion with Deontay, but we take the good with the bad. So with Deontay, if he's playing, he's in my lineup. I don't even understand how he made it to the flex. My goodness, who are the wide receivers who are starting on that team? That's a great team. But end of the day, it's really tough not to play a Nick Chubb. So I think I'm going with Nick Chubb in that spot just because he's Nick Chubb, and you got to take the touchdown upside. But given the PPR upside of Deontay, I would play him over Chase.
All right.
I do love Chase. I like the Bengals this week, man.
They do look good. I like a passing offense when the running back is hobbled or out. And what I think we could see with the Bengals, and Anthony, are always on the right sides of these things. So, absolutely. What we could see with the Bengals this week is, because there's probably no mix in there, probably, we're not going to get that 30-33 rushing attempt situation. They're going to have, and they won't be able to slow the game down the way that the Bengals have been doing throughout the season. They're the last ranked team in terms of plays per game. They are slowing the game down more than any other team in the league right now. I think they won't be able to do that, which should increase the passing volume and, add some goodness for Burrow and his trio of studs at wide receiver.
All right. A couple people asking for a starting quarterback. Rented Ammo wants to know Matthew Stafford tonight or Aaron Rodgers against Cincy. Fire Howie on the YouTube chat. Also Matthew Stafford or Dak Prescott.
Wow. I mean, again, an embarrassment of riches, but how do you not play Matthew Stafford tonight in this spot, the highest projected total? I love Dak also, but I would say you got to play Stafford in both situations. But good job to both of those teams for having essentially what is an embarrassment of riches at the quarterback position.
I like it.
I love Dak, but we've seen Dallas is willing to lean on the run in some of these games, which has harmed Dak's, points potential in a few of these games. Stafford, there's no leaning on the run tonight. I think they'll get some out of Darrell Henderson, so I love him too, but I just love this Rams offense across the board. You got to play Stafford, I think.
All right. John Snyder wants to know, PPR league, pick two, Mike Williams, Lamb, or Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, it's Williams and Lamb here. Manny Sanders is great. You know, he'll pop off for games on occasion, but the Bills just don't really need him. There's so many options on that team. So I'm going to go with the first two.
All right, got a couple more. We got Luis Ortiz wants to know, which two do I start in a full-point PPR league? Mike Williams, Corey Davis, Cordarrelle Patterson, Chanel, your boy, or Henry Ruggs?
Nah, I got to write these all down. It's insane to try to...
Chanel, Ruggs, Patterson, Corey Davis, Mike Williams.
Yeah, I think it's Mike Williams and Corey Davis. And primarily just because that target upside is much, much larger. Cordarrelle, he's been amazing this year, but he's doing it on 7 or 8 touches per game. You know I love Laviska Shenault, so if there's a lean somewhere between Davis and Shenault, I'm okay with going the other way on that one. But Mike Williams has been essentially a stud week in and week out. There's no way I'm benching my stud in fantasy football. Not on that team, not with that quarterback. So I'm playing Mike Williams, and now it's pretty much a choice between Corey Davis and Shenault. I'm going to lean Corey Davis a little bit, but you know I'm very fine with either choice there. Cordarrelle Patterson's been wonderful, but I mean, can he keep it up? It's hard to believe that, you know, on 7 touches, you're going to keep scoring 3 times in a game. It could happen, but, you know, I hope that riding the Cordarrelle Patterson gravy train has helped that person into first place in his league. But I think this might be the week to jump off to the other guys. Either, like I said, Mike Williams for sure, and just flip a coin between Davis or Shenault.
Okay, Geek, another one. Start one of these four. Shenault, Damian Harris, Ayuk, Brandon Cooks.
Okay, this is a good one. So I'm eliminating the last two, and it's between Damian Snacks Harris or Shenault for me. And I love Damian Harris this week. So unless it's, for the most part in PPR leagues, it's totally fine to go wide receiver above running right. back, but I fully expect, and Damian Williams will not catch any passes, so that's always the downside with that type of running back, but if Lionel Belichick, and I do, he's going to want to run it down the throat of this Texans team. When the Patriots are big, massive favorites, they do the same thing. This is not a new offense. We've watched them for enough years to know what they're going to do. They will lean on Damian Harris, and he's actually one of my favorite prop plays for this week, the over on his yardage, the prop for him to score a touchdown. So I'm all about Harris in this game. I know this Patriots team, and it's not like the Texans have any sort of offense that's good enough to change the narrative or game script. They might be losing. You know, it's not, I have no fear of Davis Mills, and that's why we're not playing Brandon Cooks. So Davis Mills, I'm going to take a hard pass on anything connected to that guy.
All right. That was for Francesco. Hato wants to know, Joe Burrow or Ryan Tannehill, who are you starting?
Wow. It is tough, but I think we've got to go back to Tannehill. I believe it's a little still early in the week to make a definite decision, but I need a wide receiver back for him. I expect A.J. Brown to be back this week. I'm not really counting on Julio, but it could happen. But as long as he's getting A.J. Brown back here, I'm going to go with Tannehill.
All right. How about Dino? You're on with the Geek. Dino.
What's up, man? It's Chef Tino. What's up, Geek?
Yo, Chef Tino, my man.
What's up, Jonas? Hey, Geek, I got a two-part question for you, my man. What should I do with Devontae Smith or Henry Ruggs for my flex?
Devontae Smith or Henry Ruggs? We got a bad connection, Chef. So Devontae Smith or Henry Ruggs?
Man, let's go Smith, baby. Eagles power. Like the Eagles this week. Go right back to Devontae Smith.
All right, Tunis.
Another wide receiver matchup. How about from Ryan, Terry McLaurin or Adam Thielen this weekend?
It's always Terry. Always Terry. That's always Terry McLaurin. Is always the answer. go right with TNC. Best top five wide receiver in the National Football League. They're going to have to throw on that team. Thielen needs touchdowns to produce. So we're betting on sort of what I would call a low percentage outcome with Thielen. McLaurin is the only guy they throw. Terry McLaurin is the only, he's the absolute focal point of that offense. So you can count on him for the floor, and the ceiling is higher even than Thielen. So it's Terry all the way.
All right.
Go ahead, Ant.
All right. The Wiz wants to know three out of four. Andrews, Metcalf, Deontay Johnson, Keenan Allen.
So many good players. Andrews, I'm assuming we're talking about Mark Andrews, the tight end.
Yeah.
And he would be the one I would not play unless I'm forced to play a tight end.
Okay. Junis?
Zach wants to know a trade proposal that his buddy sent him. Antonio Brown or Tyler Lockett for Henry Ruggs and Zach Moss.
I mean, I'm not giving up either of those two for Ruggs and Moss. So while it's not an insult trade, I'm keeping my studs. Ruggs is too volatile of a player. And, you know, Moss is a running back from the Bills. Running back from the Bills is pretty rarely something that's going to help you win a fantasy championship.
All right. Pick three. So you ready for this one? Because we got a lot of names. This is a half PPR league from Frank. Damian Williams, Robert Woods, Antonio Brown, Cordarrelle Patterson, Devontae Smith, Jacoby Myers.
I mean, I'm writing this down. That's an amazing lock. So, Darrell Williams? Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's in. We got Cordarrelle Patterson, Robert Woods, Antonio Brown. We need two more with Myers. So, definitely Devonta Smith. He's in there as well.
Yes, Devonta Smith's in there. League. Yeah, sorry.
It was Devonta Smith, right? So,
yep.
In the PPR league, the third I'm going to go with between here, we've got Cordarrelle, Woods, and Brown. I'm going to go, or Myers. Myers, Cordarrelle, Woods, and Brown. I'm going to go with, and this will surprise you a little bit, Antonio Brown. I mean, Brown is in a decent enough spot, and he actually is seeing just as many targets as Godwin or Mike Evans. I don't have a supreme confidence in that above, let's say, you know, any of the others. They're all really, really close together. So if he has a lean, I would say go with that, but I'm going to go with Antonio Brown here.
Gabriel wants to know, Smith-Schuster, Boyd, or Mecole Hardman as a flex PPR?
Yeah, it's going to be Tyler Boyd for me. You already talked about Burrow, potentially elevated passing volume. And Boyd is that guy that no one loves to draft, but just produces solid results week in and week out. So I'm going Tyler Boyd there.
All right. All right, listen, Geek, the Sharp app, tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get on the Sharp app. It really is, you know, it's an awesome tool for both your sports betting needs, help you with your fantasy decisions. You know, we're doing a ton over there right now, but some of the coolest things are the Sharp Academy component, where we've got a full master class that starts from the very basics of what is a money line, you know, what are implied probabilities, all of these things, the terminology of sports betting. So we have a whole setup there to help sort of newer bettors get up to speed, feel comfortable with the terminology. We get that a lot of people are new to sports betting. A lot of us were new to it because it's just becoming popularized across the states. So we've really built this app with that in mind. And to be this just incredible resource, a beautiful interface, check your odds, track your bets. It's really fantastic. There's some great shows on there as well. So yeah, if you download it, it's totally free to have free information on there. Everything you could just check out. You can get my breakdowns of the games as well. So, you know.
And you got prop tools. I love the prop tool, man. That's awesome.
We're actually about to launch a next level prop tool that it's going to blow your mind, because rather than having to go to each sports book and search, I've seen you do it. We've all done it. We go to each sports book and search for props. You got to click on the game. You got to go and look and find it. We're about to launch what I call the prop finder, which you just start typing the player's name. You click on the name, and every prop for that player across every book in your state will just pop up right on the screen, so you could see them.
The game.
Yeah, it is one of the coolest. So I'm so excited for that. I'm hoping we'll have that out next week. So one of the cool things about the app is we're constantly adding new tools and we're taking feedback and we're reacting to it. So people are loving it so far, but it's going to be even better in about a week from now when we introduce the Prop Finder.
People got to download it. It's in your app store. It's free. It's called the Sharp, S-H-A-R-P, Sharp app, as in Sharp Better, and the Sharp Geek. Geek, you're the man, brother. We love you.
Hey, appreciate coming on, guys. Loved it.
All right, buddy. Go back to your geekdom.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.